This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira fama ba'du. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm sure we all remember our school and college days. We studied for the whole year and then we sat for an exam, and in that exam we were asked questions about what we had learned through the year. And the cause of tension for us was that we didn't know what questions would be asked. Now, how about I remind you about an exam that all of us will face one day? And it's a very important exam. It's the most important exam, because after that exam, there will be no other exams. This is the final exam. After that, if we pass it, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that we pass it with flying colors, inshallah, we will be literally home and dry. Forever in Jannah, inshallah. And the beauty is, now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like our examiners in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa rahman rahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the questions that we will be asked. Now, what more can you ask for? Now, all that we need to do is to keep those questions in our mind while making our daily decisions, by doing whatever we do on a daily basis, and by living in whatever situation we find ourselves in, according to the questions that we will be asked. Then inshallah, on the day of the exam, there will be nothing to fear, and we can look forward to the mercy of the one who is the most merciful. Now, what are those questions? There are two sets of questions, because they deal with two critical matters. One is, who did we try to please? What did we believe, and who did we try to please? And the second one is, what did we do to please him, Jalla Jalal? It was narrated that Hani radiallahu anhu, the freed slave of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he said that when Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu stood by a grave, he would weep until his beard became wet. So they asked him, you remember the Jannah and the Jahannam, but you don't weep like this, but when you stand next to the grave and you look at a grave, you weep like this. Why? And he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the grave, the qabr, is the first of the stages of the hereafter, of the akhirah. Whoever is saved from it, whatever comes afterwards will be easier for him. But if he is not saved from it, if he gets stuck in the grave, if he has problems in the grave, then whatever comes afterwards will be worse for him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the adab of the qabr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, I have never seen any frightening scene, but the grave is more frightening than that. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have never seen anything frightening which is more frightening than the grave. The situation of the grave for the one who has adab of the qabr is worse than any frightening thing that you might experience in this life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from those things in this life, as well as from the adab of qabr. And this hadith is in Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. Now, that is where we will face the first set of questions. Questions about our aqeed, our creed, which is what we believe in. Narrated Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, we went out with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accompanying the janaza of a man of the Ansar. When we reached the cemetery, his grave had not been dug yet. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down, and we also sat down around him, as if there were birds perched on our heads, meaning they sat so still. Now, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a stick in his hand with which he was scratching on the ground. He then raised his blessed head and he said, seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the punishment of the grave. And he said this two or three times, seek refuge with Allah from the punishment of the grave, seek refuge from Allah, seek refuge with Allah from the punishment of the grave. He said this twice or thrice. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, he hears the beat of their sandals. Who? The person who is buried. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the person hears their footsteps, the beat of the sandals of those who came to bury him when they go back. And at that moment, two angels will come to him. They will make him sit up and they will ask him, who is your Rabb? Man Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? He will reply, my Rabb is Allah. Then they will ask him, what is your religion? Ma Dinuk, what is your religion? And he will reply, my religion is Islam. Then they will ask him, what is your opinion about the man who was sent on a mission among you? And the person will say, he is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will ask him, who made you aware of this? And he will reply, I read Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, believed in it and considered it to be true, which is, and this is verified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words, where he said, Jalla jalaluhu, yuthabbitu Allahu alladhina amanu bil qawli thabiti fil hayati dunya wa fil akhira, wa yudillu Allahu al-zalimin, wa yaf'alu Allahu ma yasha. Ibrahim in Surah Al-Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the believers steadfast with the firm word of faith, bil qawli thabit, in this worldly life and in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves the wrongdoers to stray, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever He wills. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a crier will call from the heavens, my slave has spoken the truth. So spread a bed for him from Jannah, clothe him from Jannah, open a door for him into Jannah. So some of its breeze, some of the air from Jannah and the perfume will come to him, and a space will be made for him as far as the eye can see. His cover, his grave will be expanded to until the horizon as far as the eye can see. And this is in Sunan Abi Dawud, Kitab al-Sunnah. Now, brothers and sisters, these are questions that deal with our creed, our aqeedah, the aqeedah of Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam as the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after whom there is no other messenger or prophet. It is the aqeedah which, if we live by it, will result in a sleep of such tranquility and peace that nobody will disturb us until we are awakened on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree that we are with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his Sahaba, and are granted the shade of his arsh on the day when there will be no shade except his shade. Allahumma adhillani ta'at arshuk, يوم لا ذل إلا ذلك. For this to happen, we must ask ourselves if there is any shirk or bid'at in our lives and in the customs and practices that we are accustomed to. If there is, we must clean it. We must get rid of it. If it is not there, then we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guard strictly against it to our last day. Remember, Shaitan never rests. He never takes leave. He never goes on vacation. He never takes any rest. Now, brothers and sisters, the places in our lives where we seem to have the maximum amount of shirk and bid'at have to do with our wedding-related ceremonies and with our death-related ceremonies. What we do when somebody passes away, what we do after they pass away, we have brought in all kinds of customs and practices which did not exist with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of these must be removed. Similarly, in our weddings, what we do are all things we have imported from all over the place. They have nothing to do with Islam. They have nothing to do with the Sunnah. And therefore, these things should be eliminated from our lives. There is a famous story about Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. his son Abdullah ibn Ahmad, he said, when death approached my father, I sat with him and in my hand was a scrap of cloth with which I wanted to tie his beard. And he began to drift in and out of consciousness. Then he opened his eyes and said, indicating with his hand, not yet, not yet. And he repeated this two or three times. After the third repetition, Abdullah ibn Ahmad, he said, I said to him, oh my father, what is this thing which you are saying at this time? You fall into unconsciousness, so that we say that maybe you have gone, and then you return to consciousness, and you are saying, no, not yet, no, not yet. What is this? His father, Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi, he said to him, oh my son, don't you know? Don't you see? His son said, no, I don't know, I don't see. He said, Shaitan, may Allah's curse be upon him. He stood before me. He lowered himself on his knuckles and he said to me, oh Ahmad, you escaped me. Oh Ahmad, you escaped me. But I said to him, no, not yet, until I die. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us safe until our last breath and to forgive us our sins and to take that last breath in a state of obedience. And when we are reciting His greatness and glory and praising Him and saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Now, Shafi'i rahmatullahi said, this life is an instant, let it be an instant of obedience. My brothers and sisters, we have the beautiful Hadith al-Qudsi narrated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah loves a slave, He protects him from harm. We must try to become people who are beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way to do that is to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who claim to love Allah, say to them, follow me, emulate me, imitate me, make my ittiba. Then what will happen? Allah will love you and Allah will forgive your sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful. Now what happens if Allah loves you? See this beautiful Hadith al-Qudsi. Rasulullah ﷺ told us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever harms a wali of mine, who is a wali? A wali is the favorite slave of Allah. He is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Allah said, whoever harms or tries to harm a wali of mine, I declare war against him. My abd, my slave, my worshipper does not draw closer to me with anything more dearer to me than the religious duties, than the fara'id that I have mandated, that I have made fard upon him. And my abd continues to draw closer to me with the nawafil, with the voluntary acts of worship until I love him. And when I love him, I become his ears with which he hears, his eyes with which he sees, his hand with which he strikes, and his foot with which he walks. Would he then ask me for anything, I will surely grant it to him. And would he seek refuge in me, seek my protection, I will surely shelter him. I do not hesitate in anything I have to do, as much as I hesitate in taking the life of my believing abds. He hates death and I hate to hurt him. And this is a Sahih Hadith in Bukhari and Hadith al-Qudsi. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this transition easier on a slave by showing him things which make him wish for his soul to depart more quickly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about this, that when death comes to a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him things which make it easier for the believer to accept this death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, where he said, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِي لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي min al-qawmi zalimin. And Allah sets forth an example for the believers the wife of Fir'aun, who prayed, "My Rabb, build me a house in Jannah near you. Deliver me from Fir'aun and his evil doing, and save me from all the zalimun, the wrongdoing people." And this is the ayat in Surah At-Tahrim. My brothers and sisters, Rasulullah said that verily, when death descends upon a believer and he witnesses things implying his forthcoming rewards, he will wish that his soul must go more quickly. And he knows that his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu wants to and loves to meet him. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَكُمْ مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ. In the famous ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those who said that Allah is our Rabb, قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, those who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who said that Allah is our Rabb, and then they lived their lives according to that belief. That is, that they lived their whole lives trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of their death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send malaika, and those malaika will come to them, and they will say, have no fear, have no huzn, have no khawf, have no sadness, have no fear. Because this is the time when everybody is afraid. Every single person without exception is afraid at the time of death. The malaika will come and they will allay those fears. They will encourage the person. They will say that your fears, have no fear. We are your friends and we are your awliya. In this life we were with you, and we have come here to take you. In the akhirah, in the hereafter also, we will be your friends and your awliya. And they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for you something, which is the whatever you wished, this will happen for you. And this bashara of Jannah that we have brought for you is the nuzul, it is the welcome, it is the sign, the welcome. It's like getting a welcome drink after you come back from a long journey. This is the nature of that. The bashara is given to you right now, even before you have died, while your soul is still here. This bashara is being given to you, and this is nuzula min ghafurir rahim. This is the welcome to you from al ghafurur rahim, the most merciful, the most forgiving, and the most merciful. My brothers and sisters, for a moment, death is the happiest event of his life. Somebody came to Abdullah bin Mubarak radiallahu anhu, and he said to him, and the man said to him that my dear friend passed away and I'm very sad. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi, he asked him, he said, did your friend pass away on the sunnah? Think about this. He didn't say, did he pass away with iman? He said, did he pass away on the sunnah? Meaning, we know he is a Muslim, alhamdulillah, and we know that iman has to be there, but was he on the sunnah? Or was he somebody who was going against the sunnah? So he said, was your friend on the sunnah? The man said, yes, alhamdulillah, he was on the sunnah. Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullahi, he said, then rejoice, why are you sad? He said, rejoice, because this is the happiest time. This is what he has been waiting for. It is what he has been working for all his life. It is what guided his whole life. So the moment he looks forward to it, because to die means to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself that this life is a test to pass for Jannah. The difficulties in it are a test. The ease and plenty, wealth and power in it are bigger tests. Sometimes we forget this. We think that the difficulty is a big test. No, difficulty is easy. Because in pain, anyone will call to Allah. In difficulty, anyone will call to Allah. But when we have plenty, this is when we go astray. This is when we do all kinds of things which we should not be doing. And that is why the wealth, power and so on, these are even bigger tests than difficulties. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, life is not a place for us to enjoy in heedlessness. It is an exam. It is something for us to be very thoughtful about. It is something for us to be very focused and dedicated about to pass this exam. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once passed by a Bedouin who was making the following dua in his salah. And he was saying, Ya man la tarahu al-uyun, wa la tukhalituhu al-dhunun, ولا يصيفه الواصفون ولا تغيره الحوادث ولا يخشى الدوائر ويعلم مثاقيل الجبال ومكاييل البحار وعدد قطر الأمتار وعدد ورق الأشجار وعدد ما أظلم عليه الليل وأشرق عليه النهار ولا تواري منه سماء سماء والأرض أرضا ولا بحر ما في قعري ولا جبل ما في وعري اجعل خير أموري آخرة وخير عملي خواتمة وخير أيام يوم ألقاك فيه. My brothers and sisters, this the meaning of this, the man said, O the one whom eyes cannot see, who cannot be imagined, who is beyond description, who is unaffected by happenings, who cannot be overwhelmed by the twists and turns of time, who knows the weight of mountains, the volume of the oceans, who knows the number of falling raindrops, the number of leaves on the trees, and everything upon which the night darkens and upon which the day brightens. No sky can hide another from him. No surface of the earth can hide another from him. No ocean can hide anything within its depths from him. No mountain can conceal from him anything within its rocks. Make the last part of my life the best. Make the best of my deeds the last. And make my best day be the one in which I meet you. I make the same dua for all of you, inshallah. Rasulullah liked it so much that he appointed somebody to bring this Bedouin to him as soon as he completed his salah. Rasulullah had been given some gold from a certain mine, and when the Bedouin came before him, Rasulullah gave him the gold. And he said, which tribe are you from? The man said that he was from the Banu Amir bin Sa'sa. Rasulullah then asked him, he said, do you know why I gave you this gold? The man said, because of my family ties with you, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah said, while family ties have a right, I actually gave you the gold because of the beautiful manner in which you praise Allah. And this is in Tawrani and Haythami. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself that this is the one we worship. So revel in it. Rejoice in this. Build your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Talk to him. Ask only him. Because he is the only one who likes those who ask. Look forward to meeting him in a state that he is pleased with us. My brothers and sisters, a day will come when others will do for us what we did or saw being done to others. Someone will shut our eyes that looked at the angels as the soul was departing. Someone will wash us, they will shroud us. They will pray janazah over us and they will put us in our graves. And they will go away. Let us live our lives in such a way that when that happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of His Jannah for us. And He will shut the doors of Jahannam for us forever. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy for all of us. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين يا رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.